Raghunath Das Goswami writes in one of his very worshipable literatures that he bows his head millions of times to Mukhya Ravali, the holy place where the supreme worshipable personality of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Srimati Radharani, appeared within this world. Today we are very fortunate . Our great acharyas established how to worship the deity in such a way to develop a personal understanding, relationship, and realization of the Absolute Truth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he traveled throughout the southern part of India, he visited thousands upon thousands of temples. In Jagannath Puri, he made his life and soul the worship of Lord Jagannath. And when he came to Vrindavan, he worshipped the deities here of Keshavji and Mathura, and worshipped the holy land of Vrindavan as none different than Krishna himself. He asked Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhat Goswami, to establish the culture of Krishna consciousness for the world. And a very important part of that was to build temples, to worship the deity, and to show the proper method of deity worship by which, following the innate natural love of Krishna within the heart, awakens. Within our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, these two great personalities that are sitting with us today have been very much instrumental in inspiring the proper standards and devotional spirit of deity worship. We have Jananivas Prabhu, the senior-most pujari within our society, whom Srila Prabhupada personally instructed, not only in the methods of deity worship, but in the proper devotional spirit of how we should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through our service. And we also have His Grace Krishna Chaitra Prabhu, who is for many years the minister overseeing deity worship for all the temples within our society worldwide. He is a scholar working on his PhD at Oxford University. Oxford University is considered to be the highest place of learning in the whole world. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and some of his disciples used to refer to Navadvip as the Oxford of India, because it was the high seat of learning. Of course, the subject matter in Navadvip was the same as Oxford, very mundane, until Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated the congregational chanting of the holy name. So similarly, Krishna Chaitra Prabhu is in his way inaugurating the congregational chanting at Oxford University in England. But he's working on his PhD on very, very careful research of the worship of the deity and how it is done in the spirit of Vrindavan and the six Goswamis. We would like to request both of these illustrious personalities to enlighten our hearts with their deep understanding and realizations of the importance of this place, Mukiravali. Let us very graciously, enthusiastically, and loudly welcome them to our park.
His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has begun by saying that we are very fortunate to be here in Mukhya Ravali. I would take claim to being the most fortunate because I have the association of my two senior god brothers, Radhanath Swami and Jananivas Prabhu. I have to say that I've been something of a recluse, a hermit for the last 3-4 months. So to suddenly be thrown into the middle of this ocean of Vaishnavas is simultaneously ecstatic and frightening. But I will try to say something. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn from Krishnadas Kaviraj about the nature of Srimati Radharani. Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sanmohini Para. Srimati Radharani is referred to as Devi, as goddess. But of course, she is no ordinary goddess. There are so many goddesses worshipped, especially in India, but all over the world. In recent years, this has become a popular topic for scholars to study goddess worship. And of course, there are so many thousands of temples in India for the worship of Devi. According to one scholar, the Devi Mahatmya is the most popular scripture in India. Well, that may not be true, especially since Srila Prabhupada's movement has spread throughout India and throughout the world. Certainly the position of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam has become most important. Devi Krishnamayi Prokta. It is said, Prokta, that she is Krishnamayi. She consists of Krishna. Her very existence is pervaded, is filled with Krishna. Her whole life, the whole life of Radharani, her existence is for Krishna. And that's really what makes her different from all of the goddesses. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata. Devata can refer to both male and female god or goddesses. Again, so many gods are there being worshipped. But Paradevata, she is the supreme. In what sense is she supreme? Krishna Mayi, she is full of Krishna, and therefore, in some sense, she is non-different from Krishna. Sarva Lakshmi Mayi, she is consisting of all of the Lakshmis. Today is Deepavali. And all of the residents of Vrindavan and Braj will be worshipping Mahalakshmi tonight. The tradition says that Lakshmi Devi is looking for her home tonight. And that she takes shelter where the devotees are ready to welcome her, and where the place where they want her to come is clean and well lit. This is one of the reasons for the Deepa. So there's lots of lights on Deepavali to illuminate all of one's place of living, to welcome Lakshmi Devi, to make sure that she is there to bless with her with good fortune for the coming year. But Radharani is Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. She is the source of all Lakshmis. All Lakshmi forms expand from Srimati Radharani. All of the gopis expand from Srimati Radharani. All of the queens of Dwarka are expanding ultimately from Srimati Radharani. Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sanmohini Para. Sanmohini, Sarva Kanti, she is the Kanti means dear one. She who is dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Krishna. And Sanmohini, of course, moha means bewilderment. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be bewildered, because he is the controller of the bewildering energy, maya. But Radharani, Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, he who bewilders the God of love. But Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini, she who bewilders, he who bewilders the God of love. Imagine how bewildering she is. Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti San Mohini Para. And again, the emphasis is on her supremacy. And what is that supremacy for the Vaishnavas? That supremacy is her supreme capacity to bestow the mercy of Krishna. Without the mediating action of Srimati Radharani, there is no question of our approaching this, approaching Krishna. I should announce that Dinabandhu Prabhu's party is leaving. It doesn't look to me, though, like he's leaving. It looks like he's being convinced to stay. Plan is being made. We're going to meet later. I wanted to say that this understanding that Srimati Radharani is our via media to Krishna is the essential point for us as devotees of Krishna. We have no hope of approaching Krishna except through Srimati Radharani. And therefore, to obtain her blessings, her mercy, is not a luxury. It is a necessity. In the Sri Sampradaya, Sri Vaishnava of Ramanuja Acharya, there is, or there has been traditionally, something of a debate over the position of Lakshmi. Is Lakshmi a special jiva soul, or is Lakshmi in a position like that of Vishnu? As I see it, the whole problem stems from forgetting that Lakshmi is expansion of Srimati Radharani. As soon as we understand that Lakshmi is actually Radharani, then everything becomes clear, because Radha and Krishna are one, but not exactly one. They are also two, and they are separate, and that's what makes everything very interesting. And that is the source of the opportunity for us to participate in the pastimes of the Lord. Because this one, who are actually two but are actually one, are none other than, or is, or are, none other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming and making it possible for us to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to approach Krishna. So that simple fact, I think, clarifies the whole matter. Something I've been trying to understand, and now I'm getting to the topic of deity worship a little bit, because I've been here in Vrindavan for 3 months doing a little research. Srila Prabhupada said that we could learn about deity worship from the Radharaman community. Some efforts have been made over the years in that regard, but I decided, let me concentrate on this project to see what I can do. And while being there, I've been living near Radharaman Temple. I've been going to their Mangalarti every morning. I've been wondering reflecting about the fact, and I don't really have a conclusion. I'm hoping our two senior godbrothers will help me with this. The fact that the Goswamis discovered deities of Krishna. Govindaji was discovered by Rupa Goswami. Madan Mohan came to Sanatana Goswami. Damodar, we understand, was made by Rupa Goswami for Jiva Goswami. And Radharaman, deity of Krishna, appeared out of Shalagram Shila for Gopalbhatta Goswami. The question in my mind is, why did no murti of Srimati Radharani appear to these Goswamis? The Radha deities were all appearing later. They were brought. Janamamata brought some of the deities. And with Radharaman, what do you see when you come in the temple? You see Radharaman and you see what they call Nam Seva of Radharani, or Gaddi Seva. Gaddi means pillow, or place, position, throne. Srimati Radharani is not there in murti form. She's there in the form of yantra, and then her sari, her dress is there, and mukut. They say, the Goswamis there, that at one time a Radharani deity was brought. And she was placed next to Radharaman for some time. But then one of the Goswamis had a dream. Gunamanjari Goswami, Gunamanjari Das Goswami. And in the dream, Radharaman came to him and said, "Actually, this Radharani, she's a little too big for me. She's too tall. Better she goes elsewhere." So the Goswami informed the other Goswamis and they agreed, okay, Radharamanji does not want. She will go to another village. She has been sent somewhere further north. So now they just have the Gaddi Seva, the Nam Seva form of Radharani. Anyway, I think it is interesting that here in Vrindavan, which is the place of Radharani, you could say that Vrindavan, Raval, Varshana, and Radha Kunda. These are Radha Kshetras. I told one pundit some weeks ago my name. I had met this man and told him my name, Krishna Kshetra Das. And I told him that my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, told me that this means Vrindavan. And he said, "Yes, well, that's nice. But more precisely," he said, "Vrindavan is Radha Kshetra. And Krishna Kshetra is Govardhan, Shyamakunda, Gokula, Nandagram. These are the Krishna Kshetras." So, different perspectives. But here in Vrindavan, to our Goswamis, Radharani appeared later. I think that is simply an interesting point. It's not to say that Radharani was less important. We may say that this is simply an external sequential matter, chronology, which is not so important, and is not important in the eternal dimension of the spiritual world. Be that as it may, I've been occupied with this question. I want to conclude just by suggesting one small realization I have, that for our Krishna consciousness movement to continue being successful in expanding throughout the world, expanding and deepening. We want the Krishna consciousness movement to expand so that all people of the world take advantage. I just heard a few days ago from Jai Vijay Prabhu, who has been on Padayatra for 11 years, that over the entire time of our Padayatra going throughout India, they have managed to visit some 6,000 towns and villages out of approximately 6 lakhs villages. So they are enthusiastic to cover all 6 lakhs of villages, but it takes time. So that's only India. We have the whole world to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. So the Krishna consciousness movement must spread in this way. This is the prediction, and this is the order, and this is our mission. At the same time, it must spread more deeply within, into our hearts, so that each of our hearts are fully illuminated by Krishna, by Krishna's name, by Krishna's form, by Krishna's transcendental pastimes. And how is all of this to happen? We know it is happening by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know it is happening by the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by all of the acharyas. It is also happening by the mercy of Krishna, and specifically, it is happening by the mercy of Krishna in his deity form. Srila Prabhupada's very strong desire when he went west was to establish temples. When he went to New York, he would walk the streets looking for a place to acquire as a temple. That was his aim. So by the mercy of Krishna in his deity form, and what I want to suggest is that for us to be successful in getting Krishna's mercy in his deity form in our many temples, which are so far away from Vrindavan, from Braj, it can be very valuable for us to get more of a connection to these deities of Vrindavan, and to come to understand something more, to appreciate, to value how these temples are going on. I remember in the early days we were often, I at least as a young devotee, was often told that all of these deities, all these temples in Vrindavan in India, they are so neglected, they are so hopelessly, improperly being worshipped and so on. So we're the ones who are going to do it right. And so a certain amount of perhaps false pride came into the atmosphere. I won't say with all temples and all devotees, but with many. Perhaps over the years we've been a bit humbled to recognize that deity worship is not such an easy thing to sustain. And what I've been impressed with is that these temples in Vrindavan are going on not for 1 or 2 or 3 years or 30 years, but for 300, 400 years, for generations. And they're going on, some of them, not all, but some of them are going on with amazingly nice standard. And one can feel that, yes, Krishna is here, he is blessing the devotees. The devotees who come to these temples, they are so eager to have darshan of the Lord. We can learn from this. So much we can learn. And we can then apply to our society. And when our temples get more of that sense of permanence, then our movement will gain a certain, a greater degree of stability, which I think is of great value and importance for our mission. This is the Krishna consciousness movement, which means we're always on the move, isn't it? And that is, of course, essential. But there have to be also places which are... they are moving in that there is vibrant Krishna consciousness within them, but there's a stability there which we require. We need it. This is part of the idea of the temple, the deity, that you have a place you can go and Krishna will be there. You don't have to... The residents of Vrindavan were constantly in anxiety. When is Krishna coming back from the cow pasture? But in the temple, Krishna is always there. And we need that in our sprouting development of Krishna consciousness. We need that. So for that purpose, I think we can learn something from this very wonderful tradition, which is not a tradition of the past, it's a tradition of the present. I have been meeting also many people in Vrindavan who deeply appreciate this Krishna consciousness movement it is established by our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. More than one person has asked me, who is your guru? And I say, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And they say, oh, very nice. They have only admiration. I have met one of the Radharaman Goswamis. He's 90 years old. He lives two doors down from me. And he just became completely enlivened and told me that Srila Prabhupada used to meet him every day because this man is a Sanskrit scholar. And Srila Prabhupada was studying Bhagavatam at that time. This is in the 1950s in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was living at the Vamsi Gopal temple just at the end of that street. He would go every day, stop and visit this Goswami, Gaur Krishna Goswami, go to the Radharaman temple, have darshan. So he has only praise for our founding Acharya. So, to fulfill the desire of our Acharya, to spread Krishna consciousness and to deepen Krishna consciousness for ourselves, I think we have much to learn from this culture which is here, which is living. And we have something to offer to the Vrindavan residents, to the Brajbasis. We also have something to offer to them. One thing we have to offer is renewed appreciation of their own position, their own life, their culture. And with that, to help them understand that what they have should not be neglected, should not be thrown away, that manuscripts that they have in their house should not be burned to light the firewood. This has been going on also in this area. And that the rest of the world now is beginning to come to Vrindavan, to Braj, to learn from them. So they take on a great responsibility, all of the residents of Vrindavan, as teachers. So these are some of the things that I've been reflecting on and getting a little appreciation of. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.
Om Agyanan Chimdandasya, Janan Ganan Salakya, Takshuran Militan Jinatashmai Sri Gravinam. Taptakanchini Gaurangi Radhi Vrindavaneshare, Vishapanu Shuti Devi, Pranamami Hari Kriya. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Adaita Gadadhara, Sri Vashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Sri Mati Radharani ki jai. Sri Radharani Janmabhumi ki jai. It's a very beautiful place. Every place is beautiful we've been to so far. But this is also especially beautiful. I always wanted to come to Srimadha Radharani's birthplace. But I never had an opportunity, somehow or another, I think. Just my fate. But then I had a thought. No, Srimadha Radharani also appeared there in Mayapur. You're right there, that's her birthplace also. When she appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you should be content and satisfied. Oh yeah, that's a good, very nice. So then I became content. But now by the mercy of all the Vaishnavas, I can come here practically. What to say about Srimati Radharani? She is the epitome of everything. Actually, even to try and glorify would actually blemish how we can glorify such a spotless character as Srimati Radharani. That we were chanting Radhi Jai Jai Madhav Gaiti. She's the best of all the cowherd girls in Gokul. And why is she the best? Dhammadara Rati Varadana Beshi Hari Nishkuta Vrindavanas. She wears the dress, Besh. Or she understands the mood of Krishna. She always wears his mood. Whatever mood Krishna's in, immediately Radharani will reflect that. So she knows exactly how to serve him according to his mood, every moment and every time. And this is why she's the best. Because everything she does at every moment is simply to please Krishna. So we see in this completely unsophisticated way of life. We see all these young Vrajavasi gopis here walking around. How unsophisticated they are. They come up to you and they grab your cloth and talk to you. And so this is actually the the mood that they have accepted here, it's eternally. Radharani is eternally in that mood with her Shakya. It's completely unsophisticated life. They help to look after the cows. They probably bring the bundles of firewood on their head. They go out collecting firewood. They bring water. All these things we see the Matajis are doing now, they're simply like that. Why are they doing it? Simply for Krishna's pleasure. And also they can wander freely like Krishna is wandering. We're traveling so many places. We think, God, how Krishna's... We hear Krishna's traveling from Govardhan to Vrindavan. You know, we have to go by bus. It takes hours and hours and hours. Krishna's wandering around. Yesterday he was wandering for hours and hours. How is Krishna doing all this year? With thousands of cows as well. But actually, Vrindavan is like a lotus flower, expanding petals. And these petals sometimes contract and expand. So when they want to go someplace, sometimes the petal just contracts and they kind of step off onto the wherever they want to go. So it's not so much labor for them. And this way it facilitates their pastimes of meeting Krishna and again being separated from Krishna. We were so much in feeling sad when Dinabandhu said he was going to leave. We were in anticipation, he may say. So. There was separation, was there? But then we heard, no, we're going to meet again in another place. Oh, we all became enlivened again. So this is actually a picture of Vrindavan. This is actually what, all that goes on in Vrindavan. It's simply Radha and Krishna's meeting and separation. There's a whole build-up to their meeting. So many messengers are being sent all over the place. Little letters are flying here and signals are going on. Where are we going to meet? Making plans. And then finally, after many hours due to peer pressure, etc., when they're Krishna's free from all the elders. It's when Krishna wanders out with the in the morning with the cows. The meeting place has already been arranged, but the whole of the village follows him. They can't take their eyes off Krishna. They're glued. Wherever Krishna goes, their eyes are glued. They just follow automatically. So, takes him a long time to tell his parents, please, please go back, go back, go back. How we can play in freedom with you looking at us? We don't want these old people looking at me. We're young children, we want to play in freedom. We don't want to have you looking over us all the time. So he persuades them all to go back. Then they're in complete freedom. And they can wander anywhere they like, and they have excuses to go anywhere because then they can go to Radharani's village or something like that. Well, no, the cows are here, we have to follow the calves and cows. So they have all these unlimited places to meet and excuses to meet. So it's, you know, it's such a perfect arrangement by Krishna. Nobody could actually conceive of a better way to perform pastime than Krishna. In a rural village. We cannot comprehend, actually, that nobody can comprehend how the whole arrangements of Vrindavan, how perfect it is. Our devotees can comprehend to some extent, but like scholars or people who want to understand God, searching after God, this is the last conclusion you'll ever come to, that Krishna's a small boy, dust in his hair, looking after calves and in the village. You would never ever come to such a conclusion. So this is the greatness of Krishna. Everything he does is wonderful. So then they go to the rendezvous, they have to meet someplace. And the whole of Vrindavan is in this mood. Krishna wants to, is meeting Radharani. They're all facilitating that. And then finally, closer and closer and closer they come. And then finally Krishna will meet Radharani and her friends. And then something very strange will happen. Then instead of enhancing the meeting, there'll be so many obstacles there. And their friends will say so many things and sarcastic words. And Radha and Krishna won't do nothing but just be together and meet. But their friends are in between and they're saying things and very catty remarks and keeping them further and further. It's increasing their longing to be together. So then they'll perform many pastimes together, wandering, dancing, singing. So many pastimes they have in Vrindavan. And then will be time for separation again. Krishna has to go home because his mother is expecting him. Radharani's mother is expecting him. They're only young children after all, they have to be. It's going to get that dark soon, so they have to be back quickly. So then there's a whole feeling of separation. We have to leave Krishna. They can't bear to leave Krishna. Then there's a long drawn out scene of leaving Krishna. And they go back thinking of each other. And they get back and again. Then the next meeting is going to come, more messages are coming. So this is the picture of Vrindavan. It's simply union and separation of Radha and Krishna. Generally when we speak of heaven or something like that, it's a place where you're constantly with, you know, in supreme bliss all the time, and it's ever-ending bliss, and you know, nothing bad ever happens, nothing. But here we see so many obstacles come. There was that Mangat, Radharani doesn't even speak to Krishna, she's angry. You've never imagined anything like that, anger, you know, you're trying to conceive of what is God. Now that he's been rebuked by his girlfriends, so they're angry at him and things like that. These things, this can't be heaven because these things just don't exist. But Vrindavan is so perfect that everything exists in perfect harmony here. So this place has been revealed somewhat by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, practically, we wouldn't know of Radha Krishna and their pastimes. Even it was forgotten practically 500 years ago, that most of the pastime places were lost. But he came to revive again Radha Krishna's pastimes. And he came to present, actually, again Krishna. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. He brought it down as the sweetness of Srimad Radharani's love for Krishna in the form of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. So all those instructions we get from our leader, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Shikshastikam, which is so important to us, more or less this is directly Srimad Radharani speaking, this Shikshastika, which is we should mold our lives around these teachings that Srimad Radharani is uttering. Because she's showing us how to love Krishna. And this also may be an answer to Krishna Ketra's Prabhu's question. Why? Radharani hadn't appeared with the other deities. Because Mahaprabhu was... his mission was kind of a secret at that time. But his mission would expand all over the world and give Krishna prema to everyone. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, maybe after 400 years, I think he said, after the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again the whole of Mayapur will be reinstalled again. Many temples, many bathing ghats, and one Adbhuta Mandir will be constructed there. And from that temple, service to Krishna, service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is Radharani's domain. Radharani means service to Krishna. This is the what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. That's what comes from that Adbhuta Mandir and goes all over the world. It's service. Service to Krishna. And because he is giving that Goloka Prem, which is very, very rare, once in the day of Brahma it comes. And Srimata Radharani is such a... the rarest object. Maybe it was being saved until this time when the mission does spread all over the world. People do become Krishna conscious. Maybe she will manifest more at this time, because after all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to manifest Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga, and he is the Yuga avatar, and he is Radharani. So maybe that this time, as the movement expands, this will be the time when she will actually appear much more prominent, as she is appearing in different forms as the Archabigraha. Srila Prabhupada said that if we want to love Krishna, first we have to learn how to respect him. So this is actual deity worship. We have the forms of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and we're worshipping them with great respect. And so Prabhupada said this respect is necessary. Although you cannot actually worship Radha and Krishna, because they only will approach with spontaneous love. But in the form of the Archavigraha, then we learn how to respect. And when we learn how to respect, Prabhupada said, then you will learn how to love. So this is the great advantage of deity worship, of worshipping the forms of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada said it's the Lakshmi Narayan aspect of Radha and Krishna deity that accept the worship until the worship is pure or spontaneous. Then Radha and Krishna will accept it. Prabhupada would see also, one time he came to Mayapur and he said, you see how, he said, here Radharani is dancing. He said, you see how she is offering like that tambala in her hand to Krishna. He said, this is Srimata Radharani. When sometimes she is holding her hand like that, giving ashirvad. He said that this time, sometimes Krishna can leave Radharani. But when she's offering tambalam like that, he said, she can never leave. So Srimati Radharani gave a very nice example of what Krishna Ketra Prabhu was speaking about, that she was saying, actually me and Krishna, we are one soul. And actually, Krishna was disguised as someone else, as another goddess. And he was saying, how is it possible you can be one soul? How is it possible? And she said, no, you should believe me. And she gave a very nice example. She said, just as you get an oil lamp, a ghee lamp, and then the end is split into two, and you get two perfectly immaculate flames burning together. But actually it's one wick that is split into. He said, this is actually me and Krishna. We are actually one soul, but we are manifest as two. So we can we should, and it's desired that we will enter into the association of Srimati Radharani and her friends in serving Krishna. That will come simply by the blessings of the devotees of Srimati. The association of Srimati Radharani and her friends in serving Krishna. That will come simply by the blessings of the devotees of Srimati Radharani. No other way. But of course we must endeavor and work. And study also. Study Srila Prabhupada's books. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is a preliminary study of Krishna. And Prabhupada has presented so nicely for us Bhagavad Gita as it is. Very, very philosophically perfect. So the conclusion of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it's found in the last verse of Bhagavad Gita. And it's found in the last purport of Bhagavad Gita. It's found in the last sentence of Srila Prabhupada's purport of Bhagavad Gita. And in that purport, Prabhupada is describing that how the living entity is Tatastha Shakti, he's forgotten his position, he's in the material world, he has to become purified by understanding Bhagavad Gita, etc. He said then, the living entity, he will regain his natural position in the pleasure-giving potency. The pleasure-giving potency is Srimati Radharani, Haladini Shakti. So this is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, that Prabhupada wants us to again be reinstated in the pleasure-giving potency, in becoming, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Gopi Padiyo Kamala, Dasa 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 Anudas. We want to be in that position. And this is actually the position that Srila Prabhupada is giving us. This is what he wants, he's made it clear by concluding Bhagavad Gita on that. So this is our destination. Already actually we're in the destination now. There's nothing else to be achieved. But it's all just as even Nanda Maharaj and the cowmen were shown the destination of the spiritual world. So although we are, there's nothing else to be achieved when we're sitting here right now. But still, Prabhupada has showed us also the future destiny, where we will be in the same place, in the pleasure-giving potency, in assisting Srimati Radharani and her assistants. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimati Radharani ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Go Premanandi Hari Om. Thank you very much.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pricharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Desha Tharine Vansha Kalpatarubhyas Chakripasindubhya Eva Cha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare We have heard from these two very special souls realizations based on a lifetime of exclusive dedication to the service of Sri Guru and Gauranga. When a devotee has realization, born of surrender and sacrifice, born out of love and devotion, the message has a special potency to penetrate our hearts. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu has raised a very wonderful question of why in this land of Vrindavan the original deities were Krishna. Whereas Vrindavan is the abode of Srimati Radharani's love.
Now you're going to give us
the I don't know. But I was thinking something. And it is based on our Acharya's teachings. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. Bhagavatam itself explains that after Krishna left this world, the age of Kali began, and Krishna incarnated as the Srimad Bhagavatam to give light in this world of darkness. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is deity of Krishna. However, we find in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Radharani's name is never mentioned directly. However, those who understand the true meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, every line, every page, they see that the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam is the love of Srimati Radharani. The very essence, the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam was to reveal the supreme love and devotion of Srimati Radharani for Lord Krishna in the 10th canto. So although her name is not directly mentioned, all the great souls, when they read Srimad Bhagavatam, that's all they read about. That the heart of the Bhagavatam is the love of Srimati Radharani. Similarly, when Vajranab, the great grandson of Krishna, installed many deities in Braja, and similarly, deities appeared in various ways. It appears that there is only the deity of Krishna, Govindadev. However, do you think Rupa Goswami was just seeing Govindadev? Rupa Goswami was seeing that here is the form of Govinda, but the heart of Govinda is Srimati Radharani. Radharani is implicit within the deity of Krishna. Radharani is the very essence of our approach to the deity of Krishna. So they were seeing that way. They were worshipping that way. Just as the acharyas, in their commentaries, they profusely elaborate and the direct personal presence of Srimati Radharani in Srimad Bhagavatam. They have revealed to that through their commentaries. They have extracted the essence, extracted the heart, and made it obvious to the people in general. In a similar way, the great acharyas, they have installed the deity of Srimati Radharani beside Krishna, so that all of us can understand that the ultimate perfection of all existence is to assist in the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. Is that all right?
Yes.
Raval is the birthplace of Srimati Radharani. Krishna tells us in Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yugeshu. He appears again and again in this world, not like an ordinary man, simply due to the predestined karma that he has to enjoy and suffer. But he comes simply to give his mercy to all the suffering fallen souls who have rejected him. Srila Prabhupada explained that he named the deities not far from here in Delhi Radha Partasarthi. And a devotee says, well, Radharani's in Vrindavan and Partasarthi is driving a chariot for Arjuna in battle of Kurukshetra. How is there a Radha Partasarthi? We never hear of a Radharani standing on the chariot with Krishna, helping Arjuna fight the Kurus. Prabhupada understood the essence of Krishna's heart. That do you not think that Krishna, wherever he may be, is not constantly meditating on Radharani in her heart? Sanatana Goswami revealed in Dwarka, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna's telling the queens that the only reason I love you is because you remind me of Srimati Radharani. The only reason I married you is because I was feeling separation from Srimati Radharani and gopis, and I had to have, and you reminded me of them. When he's sleeping at night, he's crying out her name. Satyabhama is saying like this. And Rukmini is saying, why are you only talking night? He says it even in the day he's crying out Radharani. So Krishna is never without Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the very heart of Krishna. And our great acharyas have revealed that to us through their writings and through installing her murti before the Lord. Okay. one time in a day of Brahma, Krishna appears in his original form from Goloka Vrindavan. Otherwise, he appears as Yuga Avatar, as one of the expansions of the expansion of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Or, although maybe coming through Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, as far as the form in which he incarnates, but Narasimhadev, Vamandev, Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar, they are descendants of the Lord from various Vaikuntha planets. Only one time in a day of Brahma, over 4,300,000,000 years, does Krishna appear directly in his original form. And Krishna never appears without his eternal pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. It is described that the capital of Maharaj Nanda is in Nandagaon. The capital of Vrishabhanu Maharaj is Barasana. Because Nanda Maharaj had no children for many, many years, they decided to move to Gokul Mahavan, close to Jamuna, because that would be an auspicious place by which their desire to have the Lord as their child may be fulfilled. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj, being very, very best friends of Nanda Maharaj and relatives as well, he moved here to Mukya Ravali, or Ravo, because he also was very eager to have a child. In a few moments, we will be going to Gokul Mahavan, where Krishna appeared. The story of Srimati Radharani's appearance is very purifying to hear in this holy place. Long ago, very pure-hearted devotees, Suchandra and Kalavati, husband and wife, they were living in the forest performing very, very severe austerities, totally fixing their heart and their minds on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After tens and thousands of years, Lord Brahma appeared to them and offered them a benediction. Because they are actually eternal associates of the Lord, their desire from their heart was the Lord's desire. So they spoke that we desire to love and to worship and to serve the Supreme Goddess of Fortune as our daughter. Brahma gave that benediction. Suchandra took his birth as Vrishabhanu Maharaj, and Kalavati took her birth as Kirtida. Srila Prabhupada, in 1968, gave a lecture in Montreal on an occasion of Radhastami. And there he explains how Vrishabhanu Maharaj, in this field of Raval, he was plowing. And as the earth was turning, a beautiful golden child came out from the earth. Srimati Radharani. And he brought her home to Kirtida Mataji. And they raised her very lovingly as a child. It is also explained in other days of Brahma how sometimes Vrishabhanu Maharaj was going to take his bath in Jamuna, which at that time was flowing very close to here. And when he came to Jamuna, he saw a divine effulgence. He came closer, there was a beautiful lotus flower, and in the whirl of the lotus flower was a beautiful, effulgent, golden complexion baby child. He couldn't reach it because it was in the Jamuna. So then Lord Brahma appeared and lifted up the child and handed her to Vrishabhanu and explained, "This is the benediction you sought from me in your previous life. This is Srimati Radharani, the source of all Lakshmi." When she was born, she would not open her eyes, and she would not make any sounds. So her parents were thinking, is she blind? Is she dumb? Is she deaf? She doesn't respond to anything. Now Narada Muni, he came to Brajbhumi on a mission. He was thinking that Krishna has appeared here in Gokul in his original form. So Srimati Radharani must have appeared somewhere, because he will not come without her. I must find her. He was searching throughout all of Brajabhumi. And then he came to this place that we are sitting today, the home of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu Maharaj, so happy that the great sage Narada has come to their home. Kirti Damatiji, she offered him all kinds of respect and worship. Narada Muni asked, "Was a child born here recently?" And they were thinking that we don't want to show him a blind, dumb, deaf child. It's not so auspicious. But maybe he will bless her so she could see. So they brought him into the room where Srimati Radharani was laying. And right in front of everyone's eyes, Narada Muni, the greatest of all transcendental rishis, began to offer his repeated dandavat obeisances. He offered his prayers. Actually, he asked everyone to leave the room. And then he was worshipping Srimati Radharani, and she revealed to him her eternal, transcendental, youthful form as the goddess of devotion. Then happily he left. In fact, from here he went to Narada Kun near Govardhan, and he wrote the Narada Bhakti Shastras. A few days after this, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai came to congratulate Vrishabhanu Maharaj for the appearance of such a beautiful baby child. So they came here along with little child Krishna. And as everyone was talking together, Krishna, he somehow or other made it over to the little bed that Radharani was laying on and pulled himself up to put his beautiful moon-like face right before her. And at that moment, like two blossoming lotus flowers, her eyes opened. She refused to see anything in this world before the smiling face of Govinda. And then she began to cry out the holy names of Krishna. She refused to speak anything until she spoke the name of Krishna. So this is the tattva of Srimati Radharani. She is the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. She is the supreme embodiment of all love, of all ecstasy, Ananda Shakti. And in order for us to understand and awaken that inner nature within ourselves, It can only come by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. In Vrindavan, Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari. She is the queen. Krishna is eternally subordinate to that love. That is the most esoteric, mystical, and elevated conclusion of all the scriptures in all of existence. The love of Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani distributing entrance into that love to everyone and anyone without discrimination. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, he appeared in this world especially to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give the whole world entrance into Goloka Vrindavan as the servant of the servant of the servant of the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Here in this very holy place where Sri Vrishabhanu Nandini Radhika appeared, we should humbly place our head in the dust of this place with great reverence and gratitude and beg at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani that by her infinite causeless mercy she will accept us as the servant of the servant of the servant of her servants. And that we may serve her servants with such sincerity, with such dedication, that she will be pleased. That is the ultimate prayer of the bhakta. So let us pray in this way. The deity here, Ladali Lal, was installed by Vajranab approximately 5,000 years ago. Very ancient deity. At this time we will all go to offer our prayers and obeisances to Sri Ladali Lal's lotus feet. When we pray, we should do so in a spirit of helpless beggars. If we think we have something much, then how can we beg? If you have hundreds and thousands of rupees in your bank account, and you go to someone's door and said, "Please give me a chapati," they will not take you very seriously, nor will you take yourself very seriously. But if you're actually starving and you have nothing, when you go to that house, you're really begging. So if we are humble, Trinadapi Suniche na Tarodapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhai. If we are akinchana gocharam, if we understand our defects and our deficiencies and our insignificance and our fallen condition, then we can actually beg for mercy. According to the spirit and how we pray, that is how Krishna will reciprocate. So we have come here to Braj Bhumi as beggars. To beg for mercy, to beg for service. and Krishna and Srimati Radharani will certainly fulfill the prayer of their sincere devotees. Thank you very much.